I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verse 3. Exodus, chapter 28, verse 3. Exodus, chapter 28, verse 3 reads this way. It says, "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments and consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, having the confidence that you have promised, Lord, and we thank you for your great faithfulness to be in our very midst, in our presence, and to bless us with your Holy Spirit, to guide us that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless the service, Lord, and each one that's here, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Filled with the Spirit of Wisdom. Filled with the Spirit of Wisdom. That's God's plan. Amen? Amen. God planned and prepared to consecrate his people for his service. That's been from the very beginning. Is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's an important truth. May we never forget that. Sometimes we can get caught up in things and in life, and maybe sometimes even trials and difficulties, and we can forget that our God never changes and he knows exactly where we are at. I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but I want to take a look at a couple of things tonight. And I want you to be reminded of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Who's done that work? The Lord did the work, right? God did the work. Notice he says, "Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Peter is the writer. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter was born into the right faith, but there was an experience that he had to learn personally in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God had to bring him to this place. I mean, Peter, for the lack of a better word or term, knew it all, didn't he? He knew it all. He knew exactly what he was going to do for God. And it didn't come to him until he realized he didn't know it all and how much he needed the Lord. No matter how much he loved the Lord because God loved him, he still needed the Lord. And you and I are incredibly dependent upon him, because the Bible tells us, Jesus said, without him we can do what? Nothing. We need to be reminded of that and not get in front of the Lord and to realize that that we make mistakes, but God doesn't make mistakes. That's important, because he chose you and me. And God doesn't make mistakes. And so God's plan has been prepared from eternity past to call out a people, that's you and I, that are in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a peculiar people, a priesthood for his honor and glory is what this tells us. A royal priesthood is what 1 Peter 2:9 says this. And then verse 10 says, "Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." And then he says this, "Dearly beloved." Peter's saying that. He wants you and I to know that we are beloved. Do you know why? Because there was a point in his life where he thought he was not beloved, but he was beloved. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now stop and think about this just for a moment. So he says here that we have our conversation is to be honest amongst the Gentiles or unbelievers, that whereas they speak against us as evildoers, they may by your good works. Now, does that mean you've done that all by yourself? Do you have any good work in you without God? No. So the good work that Peter is speaking about is the same good work that God did in Peter when he preached and many souls got saved. Amen? When he spoke and looked at the man that was lame from his mother's womb, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he, what did he do? He rose up, didn't he? And he went into the temple of God, into the house of God, leaping and praising the Lord. So this is the kind of work that he's talking about, that we might be yielded him by the good works that God wants to work in us, which they shall behold, listen, glorify God in the day of visitation. There's coming a day, now listen, we can look at this many ways. That day of visitation may be the Lord visiting upon them their need of salvation and their thankfulness to you and I for allowing the Lord to fulfill his will and work in your life and mine that pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you before, but I just want to remind you, when the fellow that was witnessing to me about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation, I was working in the neurodiagnostic field, and I was training him, and he began to tell me about the Lord. I told him I wasn't interested. Thank you, but no thank you. And I am so glad that he did not quit on me. I was thankful that he cared enough to wait a little while and approach me again with the idea of my need for salvation. And so God wants to honor and glorify himself through a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, which you and I are. Now, I want to back us up here to the book of Exodus where you're at. And I want you to see God's preparation here. And I want to back you up to verse 1 of Exodus chapter 28. Listen to this. "And take thou unto thee Aaron." This is the Lord making this commandment. "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So this is clear, right? We're a royal priesthood. This is the first picture of the Jewish nation as and the Levitical tribe as the priestly tribe. Even notice Aaron, listen, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. So is that clear? God is telling Moses, I want you to separate Aaron. Not only that, but I want you to also separate his son Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. That's clear, right? Now, verse 2 says this, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." Do you know God has made preparation through the Lord Jesus Christ for you and I to be clothed upon with the Spirit of Christ that would honor and glorify the Lord as well? Beautiful garments, by the way, that bring the love of God into our lives, into our family, into our church family, and to the whole world ultimately. "And thou shalt speak unto all," verse 3, "that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So God set this all up when? Did he just, right there at the moment, you know what, I got a good idea. Is that what the Lord did? Or did he in eternity past have this already all planned out? Now this is important because I want to take you to some place here. I want to take you to Exodus chapter 32 and I want to remind you of something. So if you're right there, go ahead over to Exodus chapter 32 and I want you to look at verse 21. Now this is when the Lord was in the mount with Moses, and he was giving him the Ten Commandments. And then Moses is coming down out of the mountain, and he meets up with Joshua. And Joshua, in verse 17, heard the noise of the people, and they were shouting. And he says unto Moses, "There's the noise of war in the camp." And Moses says, "Oh, no, it's not war. It's not. There's a problem." And then I want to drop down to verse 21, and it says this, "And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. That has got to be one of the most ridiculous statements I have ever heard from a priest of God. Amen? And out came this calf. Where did that come from? Well, it didn't just make itself. God can make anything, but God had no dealings with that, but Aaron did. And so why do I bring that up to you? Because God made a plan. You know, when God says, for whosoever will, I think that means for whosoever will. When God says, choose you this day, I believe God means choose you this day, who you'll serve, right? And so God has a plan, but you and I have a choice. That's the big, and here's the thing. God's planned, and God has planned for your success, and he has not only planned for it, but he has provided for it as well. He provided to put this wisdom into the hearts of these people that would make all the garments for Aaron and the priestly tribe, right? That would be the ones that would lead the worship. And so God has also provided for the child of God to be that royal priesthood that he is calling out of the world to honor and glorify him. To not walk, to not be what we once were to be, but to be what he has provided for and created us to be. That is our choice. Now, how do I choose that choice that God wants me to have? By faith. Just like you chose the Lord. Let me interchange that word with trust, faith and trust. I am going to put my faith or my trust where? In God. If I put it in myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to fail. Every time I'm going to fail. So if you're failing in your walk with the Lord, where's the problem? Where's the problem? It's on self. It's not in God. And the problem is that I am choosing not to walk and to believe what God has promised. And if I'm having a difficulty in that, may I ask the Lord and say, Oh God, and by the way, is that his will? Help me that I would not lean to my own understanding, but that I might in all my ways acknowledge you. I want to acknowledge you. And here it is, ready? I know I can't do it, but is Jesus Christ on the cross today? No, he's not on the cross. Is Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father? Has he risen again? Triumphantly? To give you and I what? Victory, amen, not failure. So if you believe and I believe that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God today, then we have the victory already given to us. But if I look to myself the way Peter did, I will deny the Lord and fail him every time. Now, I want you to see that God made provision before Aaron fell. But he began to look to the people and not to God. And so he came up with this lame excuse. You know how these people are. I mean, my goodness, you were in Egypt with me and you saw how they, you know, plague after plague and they kept, and then you get them out into the wilderness and they start crying about this and crying about that and all this, that, and the other. And then all of a sudden, I just asked them to give me this gold and all of a sudden this calf came out. That's ridiculous, isn't it? But you know what? Listen, it is also ridiculous on our part to say that we can't when God says you can in me. If we say we can't, the problem is self. And by faith, we've got to ask the Lord to root self out. We've got to be determined not to live how we feel or how we think, but to walk according to the promises and truths that God has given to you and I to live by. That is not as complicated as we make it out to be. It's simply a matter of just sitting down and saying, or standing up and saying, I'm not going to walk according to the way that I think. I'm going to walk in what God has already said. You and I are children of the living God. The Lord holds you and I in His hands. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that means God is a very present help in time of need all the time. He's right there. He is right there. For us to deny that is to deny what God has said. And to choose not to believe and to walk in that. So listen, I must simply say, I am not going to walk in defeat because of who my God is. I'm going to be like Peter when the Lord was walking on the water. Do you remember? Lord, if it's you, that's a good thing to ask. Lord, if these promises are from you, bid me to come unto you. And what is the Lord going to say? Come on. Come on. And did Peter walk on the water? Yes, he did. When did he begin to sink? When he took his eyes off the Lord, and you and I will too. The moment we take our eyes off the Lord, we will begin to sink. But let's be through. Let's just wash our hands of this nonsense of unbelief in the promises of God. Let's just put it to rest and say, that is not the way I'm going to walk. I'm not going to lean to what I think, how I feel, but I'm going to look to what God has said and walk in that truth. That is a decision. That is a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. God has already provided for our victory. Listen, that's why the Lord says, enter into my rest. All the work's been done. We have the option to believe the Lord or to not trust Him. Say, God, no, I'm sorry. I know what you're saying, but I can't trust you. I mean, Lord, and then we do this, ready? You don't understand. We tell God that. You don't understand. God, we tell Him, who knew everything we would ever experience before you and I ever came into being. Who knows all of our weaknesses and says, I have made the way. Now, what are you going to choose? What you think you know or what God has said? We just, because I have the same nature, we just think we know. We just think we know. How do I know that? Because of what the Word of God says. And there's coming a day when we're going to look at the Lord face to face and we will know what we could have known then, today. We could choose to believe what we've already been given in our hand. Listen, as a saved child of God, when we look into the face of the Savior, we will see that, yes, He provided everything that is needed. We just simply made the wrong choice and chose not to believe what He said. And so, where was Aaron at in his faith? With the people, not with the Lord. Now, did God intend for Aaron to fail? Or did God provide a way for his success? He provided for his success. Now, do you remember the names that we looked at here in chapter 28 of the sons of Aaron? You don't have to go back there. But I want you to know that he was talking to Aaron. And he says, I want you to know that I want you to set aside Aaron to minister to me, but also Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. There's four of them, right? All right, so you're right here in the book of Exodus. We're going to go over to the next book in the book of Leviticus, if you're right there, and go to chapter 10, verse 1. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1. Now remember, we read about Nadab and Abihu. We've already seen Aaron's sin, but now we find Nadab and Abihu here who really saw what their father had done, but they still chose to do something that was contrary to what God has asked them to do. So verse 1 of chapter 10 in the book of Leviticus says this, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. They got this brilliant idea. Hey, listen, I know what we'll do. This will really impress God. Here's what we'll do. We'll bring in a rock band, and that'll draw a crowd. Hey, how about we have a barbecue in the parking lot? Is that what God said we ought to do to bring people in? And you know, it's the same. Anytime you have a big event like that, that's it. They're gone. Do you know we have had 80 people, 120 people for our fall festivals? And I'm not against doing that. But not a single one of our visitors ever came that next Sunday. Not a single one. See, it is the preaching of the gospel by the Spirit of God that will do a work, or God's not going to be honored by it.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. We've got people coming up with all different kinds of ideas, and we're neglecting what God has said to do, and that is to call upon the Lord of the harvest, and He'll do the work. He'll use us, but we're looking to Him. So, what happens? He says that they offered this fire, that the Lord didn't command them. He commanded them not. So what happens here in the next verse? And there went out fire from the Lord. Boy, oh boy, they were playing with the wrong kind of fire, weren't they? And the fire of the Lord, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, let me remind you of something. God made preparations for them, did He not? Back in our text, Exodus chapter 28, he had planned out their success. But they were smarter than God, weren't they? No, they weren't. They were wiser than God. They had a better idea. No, they didn't have a better idea. We come up with these good ideas that pull us away from the Lord and God's way, instead of just adhering to what He has said. God wants you and I to be filled up with the Spirit, His Spirit of wisdom. Where does that come from? His Word. His wisdom comes from His Word. And they never conflict against with each other. So this is important. Listen, may we not look to what we think is success, but may we look to what God says, I've already prepared and planned in eternity past to give you. In fact, here's the truth, believe it or not, you already have it. You have everything. Do you have some of the Holy Spirit, or do you have all of the Holy Spirit that you're indwelt with? You've been given all of it. You've been given all of it. Do you have some of your salvation, half of your salvation, or do you have all of your salvation? You see, God has given to it. Give us. He's given everything to us. And if He has freely given us all things, and on top of that, His Son, will He withhold any good thing from us? It's all been already given. The question is my mode of thinking. Will it be leaning on and looking to through the Word of God? Or will it be looking to the world and how I feel? Boy, oh boy, you don't want to go by feelings. How about your feelings? My feelings can go all over the place. In one day, in one hour. Have you ever had a day where you just felt up and you just felt down, you just felt up, you just felt down, and you were getting seasick? Because you've just been up and down all day. In your mind, up and down. But you know, God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our rock. He's unmovable. And you and I, as children of God, are already where? In Him.
Amen.
And He's in us. We are there already. Now God says, walk like you belong to Me. Amen. Let Me work through you. And you and me. And I and you. That the whole world might see the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, the understanding that it brings and reveals to us. Lord, may we be children of faith and trust in what You've already given to us and what You've already said and provided for. Bless, Lord, as we break off for prayer. Build Northwood Baptist Church up for Your honor and glory in all Your churches, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.